Greetings and salutations, everyone. This is AC2GS. My name is Roy. I'm the control operator for the Limark Technical Net. Limark Technical Net has been going strong for over 43 years. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m., we gather together in front of our radios to teach each other, to learn from each other, to inform and entertain each other. And I thank you all for coming back this Sunday night when we try to do it all over again. Let me drop for a second, and then I will give you the usual link. If you're interested in contacting me and you can't do it via the radio, then email is as good as any. That would be either for what we used to call mailbag questions, those questions that would normally be asked within the fabric of the technical net, but if you couldn't gain access to the repeater at 8 o'clock Sunday night, you might email me the question. We would entertain it, and you would either listen to an internet-based audio stream of the technical net or listen to an audio file archive of the technical net at a later date. Also, if you have any topics for discussion, if something happens in the news with a technical bend and you happen to have expertise in it and like to share it, sometimes people contact me to tell me that. We're more than happy to oblige. In other cases, people are interested in a topic and want to be part of a discussion, and in other cases, they don't know much about the topic, but they are curious about it, and they would like to hear others talk about it. So that would be a reason to email me. Also, if you have what we used to call a TechNet puzzle, haven't had any of those in a couple of months, unfortunately. They're very rare, but very valuable. So if you have a technical puzzle type of a question that can't be answered very quickly by Googling it, send it off to me, and if I could fashion it into a form that fits my idea of a TechNet puzzle, we'll have something new to ponder. Also, if you have some space, a NASA-related story, and you would like to poke Paul in the back and say, what do you think? You could either contact him directly. He has an email address. It's spacenetreport@gmail.com. But for all the others, you can contact me. My email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Every week I collect a bunch of stories and YouTubes and interesting things on the internet and put links to a link page. And the link page is available 24/7. All you have to do to access it is type into your browser roy.ac2gs.com, and there will be the link page. And like I said, it's up all the time, so you don't have to read it now. You could read it after the TechNet is over. You can read it tomorrow. You could read it Wednesday. Whenever you want, it'll be up for probably years. Let me drop for a second, and I will continue with the links. We also have a chat room. It's been rather quiet lately, but, you know, every so often it erupts a lot of activity. You can gain access to it by typing into a browser, chat.ac2gs.com, and that'll bring you directly to the chat room. As I mentioned earlier, we do offer an internet audio stream of this technical net. You type into your browser, technet.ac2gs.com, and that'll take you to the audio stream. Originally, I set it up primarily for the technical net, but a few people asked if I could keep it up the rest of the week. So if you are curious what's going on at Glen Oaks and you do not have a radio on you, but you have internet access, so again, the address on your browser is technet.ac2gs.com. Also, I always like to remind people that MikeKC2NJI has a great archive site. It's called amateurradio.tv. There's archives of this technical net that goes as far back as September of 2006. So please avail yourself of the wisdom of a great deal of very, very bright amateur radio operators who have either moved out of the area or, unfortunately, have become silent keys over the years. Their wisdom remains quite useful and available on amateurradio.tv's archive site. Let me drop for a second, and I'll be back with our plan. We will ask for people to ask questions or make comments or bring up topics. We hope that the first few will be amateur radio related. This is an amateur radio technical net, but as everyone has figured out by now, we will accept and address any kind of science and technology-based questions. If I can provide an answer, great. If I can't, perhaps I can provide some resource material to find the proper answer, or, you know, we might find that we have a participant out there listening right now who has expertise in that subject. That should take us hopefully to around 10:15 when Paul, WS2N, will bring us the SpaceNet report. That should take us to approximately 11 p.m. where I will return and tie a bow on everything and wish you well for the week. So that's our plans. If the laws of physics continue and the repeater doesn't misbehave and my shaft doesn't misbehave. So with all that in mind, if anyone has any questions or topics or comments to be made tonight, please hit that push to talk. Give me your first name and your call sign.
Thanks, Shane. I have two topics. One of them is communication over the power line, SWR impedance matching whatsoever. And the second one is from the perspective of history, which is the deep understanding of the cultural and historical context, and not focusing on the political issues, as the political issues focus primarily on the past and current events through the politics, which I'm not going to touch.
Put you down. It doesn't quite sound exactly amateur radio, so if other people have amateur radio-related questions or comments, I'm sure you won't mind sliding down on the list for tonight.
No problem.
Okay, very good. And perhaps we can have a little conversation about the submersible accident this week. It made a lot of news, and I have a few things to say about it, and I'm sure we have some other people who have some things that they might want to share with us as well. So once again, out there, if you have any questions or topics or comments to be made for tonight's technical net, please give me your first name and your call sign.
W2BC, amateur related.
Okay, Rich, so noted your amateur related question for tonight. Anyone else want to put their name on the list?
N2Z Echo Alpha, my name is Glenn. Just wanted to say that I showed up to Field Day 10 and had a great time.
Oh, okay, very good, Glenn. I always forget to ask people, but hopefully there will be some conversation of how Field Day went for everyone. I hope everyone had a great time and didn't sprain anything too badly. But thank you for adding that and reminding me to make that hopefully part of this night's technical net. Anyone else want to put their name down on the list for tonight? Okay, I hope that as the time progresses, there'll be more comments, questions, and topics, but we'll see what happens. Well, Rich, W2BZ, since you have an amateur radio-related question, we'll take you first. So what's your question for tonight, Rich?
Roy, can you explain exactly how a stepper motor works? That's my question.
Okay. Well, stepper motors operate by pulsing a driver, whereas the original average motor, you just apply either a direct current or an alternating current, depending upon the design, and with permanent magnets and electromagnets, you change the electrical energy into rotational energy. With stepper motors, they run on pulses of electrical current, and the design determines how many pulses, full pulses, make a travel from one end of the motor to the other end. And then there are some cute tricks to introduce micro steps that introduce sub increments within each step of the stepper motor.
How do those micro? How do they how do they go in between each step with a micro step? Is that, because you're still sending a pulse, right, for each step. So how do they divide that and come up with a micro step?
Okay. I think that's kind of difficult to explain without a lot of illustration, and I'm not even 100% sure. My guess is that the current level for the micro steps are a smaller range than each full step, and so there's some way within the electronics that it detects lower amplitude pulses and doesn't produce an increment, a full step increment, but pulls back to a subsystem where it's a fraction of a step. I have to take a good look at Wikipedia and see how you could possibly explain it particularly well without illustrations. I think this is one of those great questions that need a video rather than an audio explanation.
It's a length of name.
Say again, Wes.
It is the length of an input.
Okay, but that doesn't really explain the difference between a full step and a micro step.
It does. Full step is the length of the input, and the micro step is the length of the input. The length is different.
So you just adjust the length and you get steps. My understanding is that the inherent step of a motor is determined by the mechanics and electronics of the motor. The intelligence does its own little cute tricks, but if the stepper motor isn't kind of designed for, you know, certain level of steps, it just doesn't do what it's supposed to do.
So can you buy motors that do finer and finer and finer micro steps?
What I think I could do is make the comparison between the differences between the regular motor and the stepper motor in one turbine.
Okay, if you want to give it a try, Wes, feel free.
The difference is that stepper motors don't have the brushes or commutator. So the regular DC motor is a little different made. There is a difference made than the stepper motor. The rotating part of the motor constantly turning in the same direction. And in another word, the stepper motors are examples of what we call brushless motors. The second difference is how it rotates. So remember that in the basic DC motor there is an outer permanent magnet or magnets that stay static, known as a stator, and an inner coil or coil is a wire rotates inside it, which is the rotor. So in the brushless a hub motor, the coils of wire are static, and in the center of the permanent magnet spin around them or on the outside. So the stepper motor is different again. In this, I don't know if I say it properly, but there is another difference between the ordinary DC motor and the stepper motor in design of the stator of the rotor. Instead of the large magnet on outside the stator and the large coil rotating inside the rotor, a stepper motor has the inner magnet effectively divided up into many separate sections which look like the teeth on the gear wheel. The outer coils have a corresponding teeth that provides magnetic impulses attracting and repelling and making the teeth on the inner wheel rotate by the small steps. But of course the length of the impulse is important, because it's the length of an impulse has to be in line with the size of those teeth. This I don't know how to probably to say. So, in other words, if we have a motor, a stepper motor that is designed on 256 steps, then we have the size of those teeth accommodated, made so the input can accommodate its movement. Intuition.
Okay, Wes, by the way, AC2GS. The bottom line is stepper motors are complicated things. You could wander through Wikipedia and they give an interesting discourse. It is rather voluminous. The starting paragraph for people who can't read Wikipedia for some reason, it says a stepper motor is also known as a step motor or stepping motor. It is a brushless DC electric motor, as Wesley correctly explained, that divides a full rotation into a number of equal steps. The motor's position can be commanded to move and hold at one of these steps without any position sensors for feedback, as long as the motor is correctly sized to the application with respect to torque and speed. And then it goes into endless detail of the mechanisms and the type of different stepper motor designs and the different ways that it gets feedback. And it's amazing that it's a very sophisticated device that, thanks to modern industry, is reproduced in such volume that the individual cost of the technology is relatively inexpensive. As you mentioned repeatedly before, Rich, you know, it's used for so many different things in our modern age that stepper motors are all around us, although we don't really recognize them doing what they do.
Do you know how they categorize? Like, the one I have is NAMA 17. Do you know what that means?
Well, I mean, there's always going to be ways to specify different class and types. NEMA is a standardization organization, so they will have standards. Again, you can Google it and find out what each NEMA type is. There's a range of torques. There's a resolution, how many steps it has in 360 degrees and how many microsteps that it can have within each step. So it's just a matter of looking it up. They're just number codes for the most part. I don't think they make a great deal of sense unless you have the ability to look up what the designation is described as in a reference source.
So what you're saying is they're very complicated little devices, and it's not like buying the next bigger one that you'll get more micro steps. It has to do with, I don't know, if the next step up in motor size would get me more micro steps.
Well, just by the nature, you're not going to, if you buy something that has a finer resolution in steps, chances are you'll either get the same number of micro steps or better. So just by the multiplication effect of a higher resolution of steps, you'll get a finer resolution. So, you know, you go through the different source materials for buying stepper motors. They rate them for voltage, potential, current, torque, number of steps, and thermal and just mechanical durability. There's a whole bunch of different specs on these things, and you find something that's, you know, reasonably priced and that fits your budget and fits the size of your project, and you go with it. I mean, you can finesse it beyond that with gear reduction devices, relatively cheap, but they're not very reproducible unless you have some calibration standard to them, and, you know, you can get slippage if you just use gear reduction methods to increase the number of effective steps for a given motor.
I think gear reduction mechanisms aren't used with stepper motors. stepper motor is supposed to handle what our gear reduction does. Am I correct?
No, not necessarily. I've seen where gear reduction is used. Sometimes if a stepper motor isn't quite capable of supplying the proper torque, that's how they get the torque increase, by adjusting the gear settings and such. There's no particular law I'm aware of that says that you can't use a gear reduction or addition mechanism in line with a stepper motor if it serves some purpose that it needs it to serve.
Okay, I see that it's a it's not a clear-cut subject. I have to do some research into, you know, what would be the next size motor that I could buy that would do finer resolution than what I have already. So I see that there's, I know it takes software also. You have to define the micro steps, but I was just wondering if there's a motor that can, let's say instead of 1/32 of steps, you know, I could buy a motor that's 1/64 of steps as long as the correct commands are sent to it through software. But I see that it's a little more complicated than that. All right, Roy, that's all I have.
WA2ZDH with a comment.
Yes, John.
Yeah, I just grabbed my iPad, and there's a site called explainthatstuff.com, and they have a pretty long, detailed article showing some diagrams of how a stepper motor rotates and stuff like that there. I mean, it's something that it's pretty easy to read through, but it shows some magnetic diagrams and stuff. I think that would give a nice explanation that's pretty much understandable.
Okay, thank you, John. Yeah, like I said, this is something that requires vision, unfortunately. There are some things that you can explain by talking about them, and there are some things that can be explained pretty much by a diagram. By the way, I think there's a standard two types of stepper motors out there. There's one that's about 1.8 degrees per step, and there's a finer one that's 0.9 degrees per step.
Okay, John, what was that website? Could you come again with that?
Yes, that was explainthatstuff.com. Explainthatstuff, one big word, .com. And under there they had an article about stepper motors.
Thanks, I'll read it now. Thanks, John. Thanks, Roy.
You're welcome. Thank you, John, and thank you, Rich, for participating tonight. Like I said, stepper motors, kind of fascinating things. They do all kinds of fun stuff. They're very important on my 3D printer, but they're all over the place. All these little robotic design tools are filled with them, controlling all kinds of different axes. There's actually an antenna that uses it for a slightly different purpose, and they have stepper misspelled as a brand name. What they use the stepper motor is to lead in and lead out conducting radiating elements of an antenna. So its feature is that it does not require electrical tricks of adjusting inductance and capacitance. It actually adjusts the mechanical dimensions of a given antenna to maintain its resonance. So that's spelled STEPPIR. The company has some very expensive antennas, and we've talked about them in the past on the Technical Mess. Anyway, thanks a lot. Anyone else with any comments on this subject before we move on? Yes, Leslie?
The subject is not that difficult as it looks like. We don't have to know how it works inside, which we talked about the four transistors, about eight diodes and one microprocessor. We don't have to know that. We know that we have a user interface controller and amplifier and motor. That's actually how all system works from the input to the motor. Or we could have user interface, indexer, driver, and the stepper motor. But the easiest way would be to look at eBay or any kind of sources which says if the simple CNC 3-axis or 1-axis. And then you see just your components ready to buy. So let's say I have in front of me one that is 326 which has the stepper motor, the breadboard, the driver, and the power supply, and everything that you need, just connect the wires. You no need to open any software, although there is a software on the internet that is very simple. It uses the G code that you could use actually to maneuver with those motors. So that's my 5 cents about the intuition.
Okay, but again, there's a lot of things that we all can operate that we don't have the faintest idea how it does anything inside. It's a black box. So it's primarily, although the electronics and control electronics are very important to make stepper motors do what you want them to do. If they weren't designed with a lot of little poles in their setup, you wouldn't quite be able to finesse the each step resolution the way it is. So it's a kind of a marriage between electronic control devices and their software and the mechanics involved in the design and building of different resolution stepper motor devices.
And usually the micro steps are either the motors that have their own drivers, and all you need is just an input, so you could have a micro switch, and then it's input by input, or you can have a potentiometer, where you can have a switch on and switch off, and then either you guess how many pulses you want, or you can measure it. So it's quite simple technology at this time to be used. Elements ready to use. You don't have to even think about it, how it works. Intuition.
Well, no, you don't have to think about it, but if someone asks you how it works, then you got to think about it. But I agree. They're not difficult devices to use effectively, even if you don't go into the intricacies of their design and the software that's running underneath, that's kind of open source at this point. And so I think to a degree Rich was discussing this because, of course, he has a magnetic loop antenna that's running on a Wi-Fi stepper motor controller, and he's looking, I guess, to improve the resolution of his stepper motor. The problem is, as you increase the capacitive range of your variable capacitor in a magnetic loop, the same steps will kind of be wider apart as far as resonance than if your variable capacitance is a much narrower range. So that's what I guess he's getting at. And there are mechanical differences between a 0.9 degree and a 1.8 degree stepper motor that a control circuit alone is not going to emulate.
Well, that's why I was asking, because I put a much bigger capacitor on it, which gets me to 40 meters, but it's not holding its resonant points on different bands, and I'm wondering if it needs a higher resolution stepper motor. I don't know.
Well, when you say it's not holding its resonance, do you mean that it's off resonance when you're trying to adjust it and you can't get it close enough? Or that we talked in the past about how it sort of forgets its alignment when you power it off and then power it back on again?
And no, this is keeping the power on. I haven't turned it off at all. This is, if I get it tuned to a band, and I go to another band and come back to I had tuned it on, it's off. The SWR resonant point is off, and I can't figure it out. I thought it may be the linkage that was a little loose, but I tightened it up as much as possible, so that's not it. So I don't understand why I'm finding slippage with this capacitor and not with my other capacitor.
Okay, that's a different thing entirely. I don't think it's a function of the resolution of the microsteps. There's some slippage going on. You said you tightened the coupling, but it's very likely that the amount of torque required for turning this particular variable capacitor, because it's much bigger, is significantly higher. So what I might suggest is that you take a marker of some kind and you set a resonance and mark it in on the box, so that you have with the finest of fine lines that you can find, and then change to another band and then go back to that resonance and see if mechanically the stepper motor is returning it to the first setting correctly, or there's a bit of mechanical slippage going on.
This capacitor is harder to turn than my other one. So I'm wondering if this particular motor doesn't have the torque to do it. Could that be it?
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, it is possible. I would consider kind of cleaning and re-lubricating the variable capacitor. That's probably the cheapest solution you could find. If not, you may have to go to a stepper motor with a higher torque capability.
Yeah, I did lubricate it. Oh boy, I hope that's not true, because I don't know if the controller that I'm using would control other than NEMA 17 motors, but I could find that out. But it's definitely slipping for some reason. I thought it had to do with the bigger capacitor and resolution. But it's probably, you're right, it's probably the bigger capacitor and torque that it's not, it takes more effort to start this thing up, and therefore it's losing some of the microsteps, I guess.
VDH with a comment?
Yes, John. Is it possible that the capacitor returned to the same angular position may not be exhibiting the same capacitance?
Only if it's loose.
John, how would that work, though?
Oh, well, this is a vacuum variable capacitor, I'm assuming, and I'm just wondering, I don't know the internal structure of a vacuum variable, but I think that it's the plate structure there, that a possibility that you know, turning it and then turning it back to that same angular position may not get the same capacitance. Maybe it's assumed that you're going to be watching or monitoring some other point or electrical reading in the circuit as the varied capacitance to set the final angular position. I'm just thinking that there might not be a direct constant correspondence between angular position and the rotation and the actual capacitance of the vacuum variable.
If that's the case, then I am in trouble with this capacitor. I had none of this with the other, the smaller capacitor, so I got to feel it's a torque issue. For some reason, the way I'm doing this is I'm running a BNA, and I'm looking for the lowest point on each band and storing that into the memory of the stepper motor controller. But I've noticed I've gotten SWR as low as possible on three different bands, but when I go from one end, like from 40 to 20 and back to 40, 40 is not showing me on the DNA the lowest SWR point anymore. That's what's happening. If in fact it's the capacitor ending up in the same position but not delivering the same capacitance, well, and it's an air variable, John. It's not a vacuum variable. It's an air variable, but a big one, a very big one. It weighs about 2 pounds. So if it is the fact that it's ending up in the same position but slightly not giving the same capacitance, well, that's a problem.
82 WOT, comment.
As I think of a regular air variable capacitor, I really don't think that the capacitance should change with angular position. Going back to the same angle position should give you the same capacitance. I'm not too sure of the internal structure of a vacuum variable, but as you say, if it's an air variable, it should reproduce unless there is some kind of heating mechanism that's causing the plates to slightly expand or something, but I don't think that's happening. Go ahead.
The plates aren't being touched, and it's only about 5 feet from where I sit, and it looks like it's turning on command. I can't see any slippage, but I don't know. It may be the big capacitor may be ever so slightly harder to get started in a turn, and that little bit throws it off a little bit. That could probably be happening. And I did oil the capacitor, so that's not, I can't do anything more about that. It just may mean a more powerful motor, so when it starts up, you know, it doesn't change any micro steps. It starts up on the very micro step and ends on the very micro step. I think it's the startup of the turn rather than the braking of the turn. I don't know. I'll figure it out somehow. But that's why I wanted to know about stepper motors. They're cheap enough to try a more powerful one, but I don't know if that would play nice with the software that's controlling the controller that's controlling the motor.
KD2 WOT, comment.
Yes, Chris, please, comment.
Yeah, you know, Rich, your controller was pre-programmed for a particular capacitor that would change capacitance based on a particular number of steps from one to the other. If you change capacitors and the relative change per step is different, the firmware would be totally out of sync with this new capacitor.
No, this controller card comes with whatever capacitor you want to put on it. This is all homebrew. So the controller just controls the motor, which is attached to the capacitor, no matter what capacitor it's attached to. It starts it turning and stops it turning at a certain point. So it's not maybe a commercial version that is designed for one capacitor. This is designed for whatever capacitor up to a vacuum variable you want to put on it.
So is the relative change in capacitance consistent per degree of rotation with this particular stepper motor?
I may be finding out that this particular capacitor is beyond the capabilities of the stepper motor. Is that what you're asking?
No, what I'm asking is, in other words, per step of movement of the motor, there's an expected change of capacitance that would occur. And this capacitor is different from the original capacitor. So what I'm saying is that the
you know, it could be like a discontinuity between the firmware that existed to control the other capacitor using the stepper motor and the new capacitor.
Comment.
Yes, John. I just want to, as long as I'm transmitting right now, point out that any different air variable capacitor with a different range is going to have a different delta, a different incremental microstep change in capacitance. But there's nothing inherent in the software or the control board that requires to know that specifically. What Rich is doing is just finding the resonant points on the sub increments and taking note of it. So although it will be different, and in some cases you may not have perfect resonance, you may have a situation where the perfect resonance is between two microsteps because of the wide range of the variable capacitor, you'd have to do a compromise, not to say. But anyway, you wanted to make a comment?
Ed, K2GJE.
Yes, Ed.
Sounds like a torque problem, since this new capacitor is harder to turn, and the controller sends out some steps, but the stepper motor has not turned a little bit, and then it finally starts to turn over.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Ed. It's consistent. You know, I've talked with Rich in the past about the problems with mechanical slippage of stepper motors. Unless you have some other method of recalibrating the position, different mechanical problems can produce different reasons for slippage.
Yeah, the problem I was having is when the battery ran out to the controller, the resonant points didn't hold. That's a whole different problem which the developer of the controller card is working on now. He thinks it has to do with the driver, the motor driver, not being able to sustain them. I forgot to mention there are 10 memories in the software, in the app for the controller card. So what I do is I find the lowest SWR on, let's say, 40 meters, and I enter that into a memory. And then find the lowest SWR on 20 meters and enter that into a memory. And what it's actually doing is it's recording motor position. And so you'd think that when you go back to that first memory that has a recorded motor position, it'll go back to that same position and that same point in the turning of the capacitor. But like I said, with this, and I'm just finding this out tonight, with this capacitor, it's not going back to the same exact point. And I don't know why. The motor position says it's the same point, but that's not correlating with the exact landing spot of the capacitor itself, if that's clear.
KD2WOT, comment.
Chris.
So, I mean, the way that these things operate is that there's a home position, and then it would be a certain number of steps to get to wherever it was. And the assumption being that there's a certain incremental increase or decrease in capacitance for each particular step.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Another way of doing this is to take...
By the way, the resolution is 1/30 seconds of a microstep.
Positive right in the middle of the shaft of the stepper motor. Make a line in the middle on the shaft and measure if the angle is exactly the same when you return to the memory point.
Yeah, I kind of mentioned that about 10-15 minutes ago.
Just one question. Is the range of this capacitor per rotation the same? In other words, the minimum capacitance in picofarads and then the upper limit, are they the same?
No.
They're completely different. The other one was from 20 to 160. This is like 30 to 330.
Okay, so if you went 10 steps in a direction with the old capacitor, the increase in capacitance would be a certain amount. If you went the same 10 steps with this capacitor, it would be significantly different.
I know that, but I could keep on tweaking it until the capacitor turns so where it's resonant on each band, and then I store that motor position in memory. When I go back to that motor position or to that click on, let's say, 20 meters that has a resonant point stored in it in motor position, it's no longer the lowest point of resonant. It's in fact out of the 20 meter band. Same thing with any band. So it's not coming back. It's coming back to the same motor position, but not the same capacitance. That's the way to put it, I guess.
Okay. Well, yeah, you should try that. You should mark it and make sure that it's coming back to the same physical position each time.
I will write to you with a question.
Yeah, unfortunately, two people doubled. Let's try it one more time.
I just had a question for Rich. This is WY2U.
Oh, sure. Please do.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Hope everybody had a good time at Field Day. Ours was pretty good. We were with NARC over at the Baldwin Park. Rich, if I could, maybe you said it before and I came in a little bit late. I understand you're having some difficulty returning to a program setting on the micro switch versus where the capacitance sits. And I think you're setting resonant frequency on a certain band with a VNA, vector network analyzer. When you try to return to that same position, how far off in kilohertz is it from where that position is? Or, if you want to say conversely, what is the change in VSWR from when you first set it to when it returns? Because if it's only maybe the difference between a 1.1 VSWR and a 1.25, you're knocking yourself out. You may not be able to do too much better than that. You understand what I'm saying? Go ahead.
Absolutely, I understand what you're saying. It's not that close at all. It's out of the band. In other words, if I have the resonant point on 14 megacycles, when I come back to that memory spot, it's like 13 megacycles.
You really mean it changes that much? That's an awful lot of difference, which I can't account for in any kind of rationale that I was going to try to lay on you. If you were going to say that you started, let's say, at 14.05 megahertz with a 1.1 VSWR and you try to come back to that same point and now the frequency changed to 14.06 megahertz, I would say, hey, well, you're knocking yourself out. But if there's that much of a change, there's something very unusual going on, Rich. Go ahead.
No, I know there is, and I can't figure it out. Like I said, I tightened down the linkage as much as I could, so I don't think it's the linkage. There is a wooden dowel between two couplers to separate the capacitor from the motor electronically. I tightened that down as much as possible. It didn't matter with the other capacitor. The other capacitor was dead on every time you went back to a memory position. Was dead on. It only screwed up when the battery went off, when the battery was used up and therefore the controller shut down. That's a whole other issue with the developer of the controller knows about and is working on that. No, this is setting a low point up with a VNA on 20 meters, going to 40 meters and coming back, and it's not even within the 20 meter band anymore. It's moved over to, let's say, 13 megacycles when it was dead on in the middle of the 20-meter band. So something's going on. I keep on coming back to the torque, maybe too tough. So in other words, the motor starts up, starts counting microsteps, but the capacitor doesn't start turning exactly when the motor starts counting up microsteps. That's all I can come up with.
I would ask you for a more accurate description of what
the delta frequency changes between one and position one and when you come back to supposedly the same position one. I think it was Roy that mentioned before about doing a fine type of a line to mark the position of a particular location on the shaft of the tuning capacitor. That sounds like a pretty good idea, because if you really are alluding to the fact that that thing's changing by as much as you said, roughly a megahertz out of 14, that is a delta of several picofarads, and that would be easy to see with a marker. Even if you have a very, very broad marker line, that would be very easy to see. So at least you'd know, you would know whether or not the capacitor is returning back to the same initial position. You may not know why, whether it's torque or whether it's something else going on, but at least you'll know it's a positional issue. Go ahead. This is WI2U.
Yes, I agree, and I will do that. I will, when there's a little more light around here, I'll mark it and take a look at that. But, yeah, it's a mega cycle off, and that's pretty disturbing. I'll get to the bottom of it, guys. I really appreciate all your help. Great ideas. Back to you, Roy.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mike. Let me just make sure I have the repeater. Good. There's a lot of people doubling tonight, which I guess is good. It means people are enthusiastic. If you find that what's going on, and it sounds to me like slippage, probably ultimately you have two major solutions. If you contact the guy who's doing the control board and ask him how difficult it is to replace the present stepper motor with a higher torque stepper motor, because I understand that he in some way calibrates it for a specific NEMA model, so that might not be that easy. If it isn't easy to swap for a higher torque stepper motor, you might want to look into higher quality air variable capacitor. You know, just because unfortunately you put a little lubricant in the bearing doesn't mean it's going to work like it came out of the box. And I've read reports where people who were using vacuum capacitors had to actually disassemble them, soak them in solvent to remove all of the previous lubrication, and then re-lubricate them and seal them up. So, you know, I don't know how easy it is to do with relatively small air variable capacitors, but it might be most cost-effective to simply find a new air variable capacitor where the lubrication and the bearings are shiny new rather than a used one.
Yeah, I'm going to ask him if a heftier motor would work okay with the controller board. And that's why I asked you what NEMA 17 means. I know there are NEMA or NEMA 24s and 36s, I guess. So I don't know if it's the torque handling ability that differentiates stepper motors, but I'll certainly ask them if I can't figure this out with a line and a pen to see what's happening. I'll ask them if I can up the motor, see if that doesn't help.
Okay, it'll be interesting to find out. By the way, NEMA just stands for National Electrical Manufacturers Association. There are NEMA codes for different outlet connectors, the jacks and the plugs and such. So it's just a major manufacturers association that codifies different standards. Yes, please.
The NEMA standards give you a lot of information. They give you the size of the mounting holes, the distance between holes, the size of the shaft, the length of the shaft. I don't know where to look that up, but the NEMA gives you all kinds of information on that motor. But it definitely sounds like a torque problem on that variable that he has now. I don't know if sometimes there are like little nuts where the bearings are that can maybe be loosened up or it can be lubricated. It sounds like definitely like a torque problem, over.
Okay, very good. So it sounds like we're all in agreement, which is a nice place to be. So I wish you luck, Rich. Contact the designer. Ask him about whether it would be easy to slide in a higher torque stepper motor. If not, go hunting for a better quality new air variable capacitor. That's kind of is a problem as you go to higher ranges and higher voltage potentials. They're bigger, they're heavier, and especially if they're not brand new, any kind of corrosion on the bearings is going to have a big impact on torque.
Yeah, this is a hefty beast, and I'll lubricate it again, but I don't think that's it. I think it's just too hard to turn for this little stepper motor.
Okay, what I would also suggest, and if anyone thinks that this is a stupid idea, feel free to yell at me. You might want to soak it in some solvent that just kind of dissolves grease and oil, not something that's going to dissolve the phenolics or insulators or other pieces of the variable capacitor. But if you can find something that can act as a solvent for the grease that's already on the bearing, because if you got a lot of dusty, dirty grease already on the ball bearing, you know, putting a glop on top of glop is not going to probably help much. So if you can come up with some kind of a solvent and then reapply the lubricant, that might get you a smoother running gears.
That's an idea, too. This is a high-quality capacitor. I think it's a Carlton, if I'm not mistaken. Major manufacturer of capacitors. And it doesn't look that old. It's just big. As I say, it goes from... I think 30 picofarads, and I know it goes to 330 picofarads. It actually allows me to get on 40 meters with the loop. But I just mounted it with the motor today, and I'm finding this problem. So I'll look into it, and I'll get back. Thanks, everyone. W2BC.
Okay, very good, Rich. I wish you luck, and I'm sure you'll tell us how it turns out. Anyone with any other comments before we move on? Okay, I'll take that as a no. Again, Wesley is has some historical and communications-based questions, which aren't quite amateur radio related, so I'll give people an opportunity if you have an amateur radio-related question or topic or comment to be made. Please give me your first name and your call sign. Okay, no comment out there. So I guess, Wes, you're next.
Yeah, I don't know which one to start first. Maybe I start from the technical one. I believe the electrical engineers or electricians listen to us, professionals that would be able to add a little bit more information to it. So we have a power line, and then we have a power on it, 50 hertz or 60 hertz, depends from where it is, Europe or United States. And then we have a communication that goes over the power line, called power line carrier PLC. It is protective relay. What happens is that we have a 50 or 60 hertz, but the frequency at which the communication is happening, because it needs to instruct the next substation what to do in case of the black. I forgot the blackout. Okay, let me drop.
WP2EAZ.
Yes, Ed.
I joined the net late, and I hear a discussion about something I worked on. It's called SCADA, which is sending data over power lines while controlling the substation.
That is correct. So It is, so imagine that it takes some unusual engineering to couple the radio signal onto the antenna carrying 500 volts. Now it should bring the bell, it is close to ham radio, right? But it is done every day. So the device is employed in power line is the line trap.